This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
That might have went in over the air.
What's that?
Your backup HR plan? Violation with E here.
It wasn't a violation.
It's appropriate music in the background, too. Creep. Shout out to TLC. Rest in peace, Left Eye Lopez. Big news out of the NFL today. Joe Flacco traded to the Denver Broncos for a fifth-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a little bit of an effect there. A carousel, if you will. Case Keenum now being linked to the New York Giants to be reunited with Pat Shurmur, who, of course, was the play caller when he had the best year of his career.
Makes sense. I hadn't thought of that.
Must be the NFL offseason. John Elway, you drunk. To dive deeper into the NFL offseason and the NFL draft, we're joined by John Ledyard, the senior NFL draft analyst at the Draft Network LLC and host of Locked on the Draft NFL podcast. John, thank you very much for joining us. Landry Locker, John Lopez here on In the Loop.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, we're going to get right into it. Houston Texans have two significant needs. I know you've been breaking down the tape a little bit. They need a cornerback, and they need an offensive tackle. Based on your early studies, and obviously we're early in the process, although I know you do this all year, what is the best-case scenario for the Houston Texans in this draft with the 23rd overall selection in regards to a tackle and a cornerback?
Well, I feel good about the tackle class. I do. I think it's a deep class. I think there's plenty of talent in the group. I think there's a decent chance. They just don't want the run to happen too early. That's the big thing for the Texans. Don't have the run and tackle happen super early so that then you are left with kind of the, you know, fifth or sixth best tackle in the class. And I do think there's a possibility the four could go high. I think Juwan Taylor from Florida, Andre Dillard from Washington State, Jonah Williams from Alabama, and potentially if you see Cody Ford as a tackle, I think he also will go high too from Oklahoma. So that leaves still with some good, decent options, but I think that if you're the Texans, like you said, there's not a ton of needs. You've got to monitor when the tackles are coming off the board and make a move, I think. It's that big of a deal, right, for them to be able to get an offensive tackle. I mean, you can't go into next season allowing Deshaun Watson to take the kind of beating that he did. So, you know, you could argue they need two offensive tackles. Whether they'll start two new ones or not, it remains to be seen. But you could argue that, you know, they could stand to upgrade both spots along with other spots on the offensive line as well. So that has to be the primary investment both in the draft and in the offseason, in my opinion. So I think that it's a good deep tackle class, so you're going to be able to get a starter in the first round, I think, if you stay put. But if you can move up and get a difference maker, if the run happens early at the position, I think they have to look into their options of potentially doing that.
I know you were really high on Taylor out of Florida. I think he's a name that everybody's going to know about. But someone else that has emerged as an intriguing prospect, to say the least, is Titus Howard out of Alabama State. I guess he started as a quarterback, put on 100 pounds, and now he's a guy that they're talking about could go in the late first, early second. Have you done any work on him? What do you think of him? Is he a little too raw to take it at 23rd overall?
Yeah, I think that would be pretty high for him. I actually hadn't seen him mocked in late first round. I mean, I know people get crazy about athletic offensive tackles, but he is talented for sure. I'm still have yet to finish up his formal evaluation, but he played great against Auburn, and there's real potential and talent there, I think. And so he's the kind of guy you want to take some time on day two. We'll see how he tests. I know teams will get excited about testing whether they should or they shouldn't for an offensive tackle. But I think, yeah, that's something you're going to have to watch for with him, is that kind of stuff, because it'll tell you how his traits compare to Power 5 and guys who played at your better competition. But, yeah, like I said, his best game tape maybe came against Auburn. So, I mean, that was his opportunity, and he really put a stamp on it. So I think that with him, it's a guy, if you miss out on the top tackle guys, if that run happens earlier, you know, somebody falls off the map and the class doesn't look as deep as it looks right now by the time the draft comes around, Howard's the kind of guy I think you target sometime on day two and try and make a move for and potentially develop, because I do think there can be a nice ceiling there he is a very talented player. But this tackle class is so deep, it might actually push him down the board a little bit, which would allow Houston to grab him, you know, later in the draft as opposed to trying to reach for him in the first round.
It is deep. I think it, you would know, but cornerback doesn't seem to be thin. I mean, there seems to be some depth with the cornerback position as well if the Texans want to go that route, isn't there?
Yeah, I think so. I think the big problem with the cornerback class is that not a lot of high-end talent, where the tackle class, I think, has a lot of high-end talent and a decent amount of depth. I think the cornerback class, there's depth. There's guys that could contribute. So far, it seems like Greedy Williams from LSU, Washington's Byron Murphy, and Georgia's DeAndre Baker are the kind of the consensus top three corners. I would bet any sum of money those three do not end up as the first three corners off the board. You know, one or two of them maybe, but I just don't think – I don't know that the NFL is going to be in love with Byron Murphy just because he's – I don't know if he's going to test great, but even if he does, he's a really small corner, small frame. He does play physical, but I do see some issues with him in press man coverage that I think teams will scare teams a little bit. I don't think he's a lock first rounder, so maybe you can grab him late. Baker is smaller than he looks on tape because he wears like the biggest shoulder pads in the SEC, but he's smaller than he looks on tape. And so that will concern teams as well. I've heard that he can be a little bit of a me first type of guy. I think he's talented, but he ought to test well as well. And I know speed's been a big concern with him for a long time at Georgia. You know, that's kind of been, as he projected to the NFL, that's the thing that always keeps getting brought up. So those two really need to test well. I think Greedy Williams will test well, and he has traits that NFL teams like, but his effort is lacking at times on tape, and his technique just really didn't come along too well this past season. Doesn't make a ton of plays on the ball down the field in vertical situations. So there are legitimate concerns with all those guys. I don't think any of them, we don't have a consensus lock top 10 type of corner this year like we've had in the past. You know, I think Greedy Williams will be the first one off the board, but I think guys like Jawan Williams from Vanderbilt, I don't know about first round, but I think he'll be a riser, just a big corner. He's pretty athletic. Lonnie Johnson from Kentucky, his tape needs a ton of work, but we've already heard the whispers that teams will consider him in the late first round. That would really blow my mind based on my evaluation of him, but he's the guy that we've seen mocked to Seattle. Pittsburgh, he's the kind of guy that Pittsburgh would think about as well, you know, so there are a lot of concerns there, but I bet he's a riser. There's other guys, too. You know, Kendall Sheffield from Ohio State is said to be an elite athlete, did not have a great season for them, declared anyway. There's a ton of corners like that. You know, Savion Smith for Alabama, a big recruit out of high school, supposed to be a great athlete, didn't have a great season. You know, those guys are kind of all in that. We're athletic, we have enough size, the speed, strength, you know, all those kind of things you're looking for, but we need significant development. So it's going to be a very unusual cornerback class because a lot of guys will go high based on the class not being super talented and super top heavy. A lot of guys will go high just based on traits because teams need to try and develop them. And I think some of the less athletic guys who maybe are a little bit better on tape but don't have the same ceiling could fall a little bit and could end up being steals relative to where they're selected. So it's really hard to predict right now how the cornerback class is going to unfold. I actually just wrote about that this past week. Normally we can tell who the top guys are off the board at that really important position. This year you just really can't. So I wouldn't shock me if everybody, you know, maybe one corner goes in the top 20, and that would be super unusual. But that's the kind of class we have.
I was going to say, and John Ledyard, senior NFL draft analyst at the Draft Network, joining us. It sounds like there could be a situation, and just based on all the guys like yourself that put in the work, it seems like this could be a situation where, you know, maybe the top five or six tackles are off the board for the Texans, but then all of a sudden they come up and a corner hasn't been selected, so they could have their crack at the corner they like most in a class where the corners, as you said, don't have high-end talent.
Right. I don't think it's out of the question to think that maybe the best corner in the draft it could be on the board when the Texans pick. That sounds crazy, and typically corners do tend to go higher. Right now, it is just hard to envision, other than maybe Greedy Williams if he tests great, it's hard to envision for me the NFL liking any of the top corners enough to take him in the top 20. So that puts the Texans in a really pretty good spot if they like one, you know, if there's one that piques their interest enough to know that the run on corners probably won't happen until around or after maybe their first round pick. They could potentially have their pick of the litter. I mean, that's kind of going to be the sweet spot for corner in this class, unless something changes and we get news out of the combine or a bunch of guys test unbelievable and teams move them up their board. But even in that case, I've seen enough tape for this cornerback class to think that teams will be reaching for talent over what's been put out and produced on tape if they start taking cornerbacks earlier than the 20th pick.
Not an immediate need, but definitely a need for the Texans. Two defensive tackles really intrigue me. Number one is Ed Oliver, the local guy, who seems to be, maybe not with you, but seems to be falling on some boards. And then the other one that's really intriguing to me is Jeffrey Simmons of Mississippi State, who, as you know, just this past weekend tore his ACL, probably going to be a top 10, top 15 pick. Maybe the Texans could snag him a little later and stash him for 2020.
Yeah, two interesting names, and I like the way you said that with Ed Oliver. You know, he could be sliding down boards. I think that that's probably the best way to say it. I don't think for the NFL he's ever been as highly rated as kind of as other people have had him. I actually talked about that before the college football season started, that I really liked Ed Oliver on tape. But I said to my co-host, Trevor Sikkema, at the time, I said, I don't think that it's out of the question, nor is it crazy to talk about Ed Oliver falling outside of the top 10, maybe even now, because he is a smaller defensive tackle. You know, lo and behold, we're here now, and it seems like the consensus is gravitating towards him being not being a top 10 pick, which I think is what will happen ultimately when the draft rolls around. Mm. He will still be a first round pick, somewhere from, you know, 11 to 25, probably somewhere in that range. Some team, probably a team like Atlanta, if I'm guessing at 14, will see that as a great value pick and grab him. Other teams will not really be that interested, because here's the thing with Ed Oliver and why he is a risky pick. He played AAC competition and, frankly, didn't post dominant production after his freshman year, especially as a pass rusher. There is a clear lack of a plan as a pass rusher. He doesn't really use his hands really well or work a plan of attack when he's facing guys 1v1. He just tries to kind of push through gaps and use his natural traits to win. That will be great in a lot of ways, because it's a great basis to build on, I think, for the NFL. But I really think if people sat back and kind of asked themselves, if Ed Oliver wasn't the number one recruit in the country or whatever, and a guy that's been getting buzz since he was a true freshman at Houston, you know, if that wasn't true about him, and I just watched his tape and I didn't know any of the background stuff, would I feel like this was a guy that deserved to go in the first two or three picks of the draft? I don't think you would. I don't think most people would. He is a good player on tape. He clearly has unbelievable athletic traits. He's going to destroy the combine. But he played at 274 pounds, and there's some question as to how well he keeps that on during a season. There just aren't any defensive tackles, you know, full-time interior defensive linemen in the NFL that play at that size. There aren't any as athletic as Ed Oliver. I think his testing is going to be phenomenal, but people compare him to Aaron Donald. He doesn't use his hands like Aaron Donald. He doesn't have a plan of attack like Aaron Donald does. He also doesn't use his traits as well as Aaron Donald does just yet. So he has an unbelievable ceiling, I think. He disappointingly did not get much better during his time at Houston, and when opposing teams keyed on him more and more, he was less and less of a factor. Now, I think he's a really good prospect and a good player, and he deserves to be a top 32 pick, but I would prefer Jeffrey Simmons when the two are healthy. I think Simmons is an all-around talent who did it against SEC competition. His sack numbers weren't amazing, but that doesn't tell the whole story.
How much is he going to fall?
That's a good question. It's really hard for me to say because I don't have access to his medicals, obviously. ACL injuries are fairly commonplace at this point. NFL teams are not really going to get scared off by that. The biggest issue with Jeffrey Simmons is actually, and I talked about this on a show earlier today too, is that his biggest issue is that if he's picked, that first year of his contract is obviously going to be mostly spent injured. You know, there's a chance, I think, given the way ACL recoveries work, that it's happened early enough that he could potentially play this season. But as a rookie, do you want to throw a guy to the fire the last six games of the season, or do you want to just let him get full strength for the next season? So that sets up an interesting quandary with Jeffrey Simmons, in that teams are going to have to think about the fact they're going to lose a year of his contract. So maybe his value drops to the second round. But at the same time, if you take him in the first round, you have an option for the fifth year of his contract. And so you'd still get 4 years out of him on the field at the very least. And so I think for teams that consider him a top five talent in the draft, I consider him a top five talent in the draft, it might be worth it to take him in the back end of round one, because it is such a good value pick and you do get that extra year of his contract.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, because the Texans do have an extra second-round pick as well from the Duane Brown trade. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep our eyes peeled there. We got to get you out of here on this, John. We're up against it. But real quick, because the interesting thing about you guys and what you guys do is y'all are basically doing the exact same stuff that Texans GM Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien are doing right now in evaluating players. With that said, what's harder to evaluate, just based on recent history, the cornerback position or the offensive line?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the level of talent is the biggest thing with offensive linemen. You know, you are going to face good players every snap in the NFL. There's no position group that's deeper than defensive end and interior defensive line. So I think that position is harder to evaluate if they're not facing quality competition, because in the NFL, they'll literally face it every single down. Where cornerbacks, you can hide them a little bit more, I think, in your defense.
Mm-hmm. All right, John, we appreciate it. That's John Ledyard, senior NFL draft analyst at the Draft Network and host of the Locked on the Draft podcast, man. Thank you very much for the insight. Greatly, greatly appreciated.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, man.
That's some good stuff right there, especially
great
about
stuff.
Ed Oliver. I mean, and that
we got to talk about that.
It is interesting when you say that. We'll keep it going here. Coming up next, AFC South offseason, think no fear. We're going to evaluate the free agents and potential trades. What are our biggest thoughts, knows, and fears? You're in the loop. Keep it locked on a hump day on Sports Radio 610.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.